سورة الناس، أشير إلى سنة مهمة وهي تسوية الصف. فمن تمام تسوية الصف ألا نصلي في الجماعة بين السواري، لأني رأيت هنا هذه السارية يقف بينها هنا ويقف هنا آخر، هذا لا يجوز، هذا الصف هنا وقوف في هذا المكان، فهذه السواري تقطع الصف. والنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أمر بتسوية الصف ونهى عن الصلاة بين السواري.
Shaykh Hafidhullah wa Ra'ahi began by thanking Allah and praising Him and sending the peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and saying, before we begin with Surah An-Nas, and that is the subject of today's topic, the tafsir of Surah An-Nas, there's an important topic that we need to cover, and that is making the line straight. And he said that the sunnah is to make your line straight and not pray between pillars. And that is that he saw this sariya right here behind us, the door and the panel there. He said it's not from the sunnah, rather it's not permissible to pray between that. That somebody line up over here and then on the other side of the door or that panel, somebody lines up. So this is not permissible, the line is not complete like that, rather the people should back up and pray behind it. And this is from cutting off the lines, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prohibited the people from praying between the sawari, and that is praying between the pillars or anything that may cut them off from each other.
Surah An-Nas سبقتها سورة الفلق، وكلاهما هما مما يتعوذ به الإنسان من شرور، سواء كانت هذه الشرور مما يحدث مما قدره الله عز وجل أو مما أيضا قدره الله عز وجل بفعل الإنسان أو الجن. فقراءة المعوذات وهي سورة الفلق وسورة الناس فيها خير عظيم، وقد بين عامر رضي الله عنه ما نصحه النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من الاستمرار في قراءة هاتين السورتين. يقول عامر: كنت أقود لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ناقته في السفر، فقال لي: يا عقبة، ألا أعلمك خير سورتين قرئتا؟ فعلمني: قل أعوذ برب الفلق، وقل أعوذ برب الناس. قال: فلم يرني سررت بهما جدا. كأن عقبة ما وجد فيهما هذا الخير الكثير، فلما نزل لصلاة الصبح، يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، فلما نزل لصلاة الصبح صلى بهما صلاة الصبح للناس، يعني صلى بسورة الفلق وبسورة الناس. فلما فرغ التفت إلي فقال: يا عقبة، كيف رأيت؟ هذا الحديث رواه الإمام أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي. إذن هذا من هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، أنه لما رأى من عقبة استقلاله هاتين السورتين صلى بهما في الناس، وكأنه أراد أن يخص عقبة بالفهم أن في هاتين السورتين خير عظيم، وأني قرأتهما في صلاة الصبح، فبعد الانتهاء من صلاته صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم التفت إلى عقبة وقال له: كيف رأيت؟
شيخنا اسم الصحابي عامر أو عقبة؟ قلنا عامر.
ظني هذا عقبة بن عامر.
الشيخ حفظه الله ورعاه went on to say سورة الناس was revealed after سورة الفلق, and they are two verses of the Quran, or سورة of the Quran, chapters that within it the person is seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from those things that have been decreed by Allah that are harmful to the person, or those things that have been decreed that the creation do to themselves from the jinn and the ins. So the person is seeking refuge from that harm and that ill that might befall them. And in them is great blessings, in them is a great goodness. And a hadith concerning this is from a sahabi, Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu. He says, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam guiding his camel, and we were on a travel, and he said to me, Ya Uqba, should I not teach you the best verses that have been revealed unto us, or the best two surahs that have been revealed to us? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Uqba says, taught me Surah Al-Falaq wa Surah An-Nas. But he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam though did not see upon me a great excitement for learning them, as if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that Uqba did not understand or did not see the great goodness that are in these two surahs, because he didn't see the joy. So when he saw this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the next morning for Salat al-Fajr, he prayed with these two surahs for Salat al-Fajr, and then he turned when he finished from the Salah and looked at me. He says, Ya Uqba, O Uqba, how do you see it? How do you see the qira'ah of these two surahs now? And this hadith was narrated in Ahmad and Abu Dawood and al-Nasa'i and other than them. And this is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that when he saw that Uqba radiyallahu anhu did not become very excited to learn these two surahs, or he felt that he didn't understand the goodness of them, he decided to pray with the people these two surahs to show him the greatness and goodness of the surahs. قُلْ أَعُذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ. So when he finished the salah, he further went out and pointed out to Uqba, Ya Uqba, how do you see it? Meaning the surah.
هذا الحديث رواه ابن حبان بلفظ قلت, هذا عقبة بن عامر, قلت يا رسول الله أقرئني آية من سورة هود وآية من سورة يوسف. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا عقبة بن عامر, إنك لن تقرأ سورة أحب إلى الله ولا أبلغ عنده من أن تقرأ قل أعوذ برب الفلق. فإن استطعت ألا تفوتك في صلاة فافعل.
Ibn Hibban has this hadith with another narration, and it's that the Prophet sallallahu, that Uqba radiallahu anhu was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked him, Ya Rasulullah, recite upon me some verses from Surah Hud and some verses from Surah Yusuf. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya Uqba ibn Amir, there is no surah more beloved to Allah and more eloquent than your reading of قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. So if you can, do not let a salah pass by except that you read this surah in the salah.
وأخرج الإمام أحمد عن عقبة مرفوعا يعني عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا عقبة بن عامر ألا أعلمك سورا ما أنزلت في التوراة ولا في الزبور ولا في الإنجيل ولا في الفرقان مثلهن؟ لا يأتين عليك ليلة إلا قرأتهن فيها. قل هو الله أحد وقل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس.
Another narration from the book of Imam Ahmad. It is a marfu' hadith, that is, it's raised to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Sahabi to the Prophet. And it is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Uqba ibn Amir, should I not teach you two surahs that have not been revealed in any book from before, not in the Zabur, not in the Injil, not in the Torah, and not even in the Furqan? That is the Quran. And these surahs are Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Wa Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas. No salah should pass you by, or no day should pass you by, except that you read these surahs in that day.
Wa Nabiyyu Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Sallam Hatha Ala قراءة هاتين السورتين في دبر كل صلاة. فعن عقبة أيضا قال: قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اقرأ المعوذات في دبر كل صلاة. وأخرج أحمد والنسائي عن عقبة أيضا مرفوعا: يا عقبة، ألا أعلمك خير سورتين قرئتا؟ قل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس. يا عقبة، اقرأ بهما كلما نمت وقمت، ما سأل سائل ولا استعاذ مستعيذ بمثلهما.
And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam encouraged the reading of these two surah after every salah. It's been narrated from Uqba radiyallahu anhu as well. He said, Ya Uqba, after each salah, then read the mu'awwidhat. And that is, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. In which he said, should I not teach you the best two surah, chapters that have been revealed? He said, read قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and read قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. No one has asked with them or sought refuge with them except that they were given that which they asked for or sought refuge from.
وعنه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فيما أخرجه النسائي وأحمد قال يا ابن عابس ألا أخبرك بأفضل ما تعوذ به المتعوذون؟ قال بلى يا رسول الله. قال قل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس، هاتين السورتين.
And also narrated in the book of An-Nasa'i and Imam Ahmad, say, Ya Ibn Abbas, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ya Ibn Abbas, should I not teach you the best two surah, that those who seek refuge with them will be given the refuge? Say, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, they are, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان يحصن نفسه بهاتين السورتين. فعن علي رضي الله عنه قال لدغت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عقرب وهو يصلي، فلما فرغ قال لعن الله العقرب لا تدع مصليا ولا غيره، ثم دعا بماء وملح وجعل يمسح عليهما ويقرأ بقل يا أيها الكافرون وقل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس. ولما سحر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سحره رجل من اليهود فاشتكى، فأتاه جبريل عليه السلام فنزل عليه بالمعوذتين. لذلك نجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأهما ويقرأ بهما في الصلاة وفي دبر الصلاة، ويتعوذ بهما ويقرأهما ويمسح بهما على جسده. فقد أخرج الإمام البخاري وأبو داود والترمذي عن عائشة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا آوى إلى فراشه كل ليلة جمع كفيه ثم نفث فيهما فقرأ، قرأ فيهما قل هو الله أحد وقل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس، ثم يمسح بهما ما استطاع من جسده، يبدأ بهما على رأسه ووجهه وما أقبل من جسده، يفعل ذلك 3 مرات.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he used to protect himself with these sur. It's been narrated from Ali radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was stung by a aqrab. Let's see, what are we going to call a scorpion, while he was praying. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, may Allah curse the scorpion. He has not left nobody from his evil, the one praying and the one not praying. And then he asked them to come with some water, or he came with some water and salt, and wiped it over the place. And he read Surah Al-Kafirun, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was, the magic was put on him, or the sorcery was put on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he complained. He complained about this evil. So Jibreel alayhi salam, he came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the mu'awwidhatayn. He came with قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And for this reason, you find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading it all the time. When he wakes up, when he goes to sleep, after each salah, always seeking protection in it. And it's been narrated that, and this has been narrated for in Abu Dawood and Nasa'i and other than them, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of his sleep, he would bring his 2 hands together and lightly spit in them and read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ and wipe what he can of his head, of his body, his arms, all of this he would wipe before he went to sleep. And this was narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha. He would read it 3 times.
Allah Azza wa Jal ابتدأ سورة الفلق بقوله قل أعوذ برب الفلق وابتدأ سورة الناس بقوله قل أعوذ برب الناس. والفلق هو انفلاق الليل عن النهار، وبعد ذلك حدوث الفجر، والفجر من الانفجار وهو خروج الليل عن النهار. والناس يبدأون يومهم بالفجر، يبدأون يومهم بالفلق، وتبدأ الحياة من جديد. كل يوم فيه فلق وفيه فجر، ويخرج الناس، منهم من يسعى في الخير ومنهم من يسعى والعياذ بالله الشر. والله عز وجل يقول في سورة الليل في أولها والليل إذا يغشى والنهار إذا تجلى، فأقسم الله عز وجل بالليل وهو مخلوق، وأقسم بالنهار وهو مخلوق. والليل إذا يغشى أي الليل إذا أظلم، والنهار إذا تجلى أي ظهر وبان. قال بعدهما وما خلق الذكر والأنثى، والناس من ذكر وأنثى. ثم قال إن سعيكم لشتى، فكل إنسان سواء كان ذكر أو أنثى يسعى وله في هذه في هذا المسعى نية. فحتى يكون الإنسان محفوظا يحفظه الله عز وجل من شرور ما يفعله شياطين الإنس وشياطين الجن بعد أن انفلق الصبح وبعد أن تجلى النهار، فإن هذا الإنسان بحاجة كل يوم إلى أن يلجأ إلى الله في كل لحظة، وبحاجة أن يعتصم بالله عز وجل مما يقدره الله من شرور. فهو يقول قل أعوذ برب الفلق، يا أيها الإنسان حين يصبح الصباح اعتصم والجأ إلى الله وتعوذ به برب الفلق، إشارة إلى أن الله هو الخالق خالق الفلق، وبرب أي أنه يعتني بك. فالله عز وجل يعتني بالناس في أول لحظة من قيامهم بعد نوم، يقول قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق. فهو يلجأ إلى الله عز وجل مما قدره الله من شرور في ذلك اليوم، وهو يتذكر أن الرب هو الخالق وهو المتصرف وهو المعتني به وهو الذي يربيه ويحافظ عليه ويحفظه من كل شر. وكذلك قل أعوذ برب الناس، فالله عز وجل هو كما هو خالق الفلق هو خالق الناس، فأنت تلجأ إلى هذا الذي خلق الكون وفيه آية الفلق، وتلجأ إلى خالق الناس الذين هم من ذكر وأنثى.
الشيخ حفظه الله ورعاه said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he began his statement or his opening verses in these two surahs of قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. He said, I seek refuge in the Lord of Al-Falaq, and the meaning of that will come inshallah. And in Surah An-Nas, he says, I seek refuge in the Lord of An-Nas, the people. Now, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Al-Falaq is the distinguishing between the night and the day. It is the night leaving the day. This is Al-Falaq. And after it comes Al-Fajr. After the Falaq comes Al-Fajr. And the Fajr comes from the word infijar, and that is literally explosion. And that is the explosion of day after night. And the people, traditionally, they begin their day with Fajr time, because this is the beginning of their day. So now they're beginning their days, and they're going out to either do good or bad, but this is the beginning of their day. So, when the person wakes up, and he reads this, he is seeking refuge in Allah from the evils of what might come from this day, from whatever is out there, from the evils of mankind and jinnkind. This is his protection for the rest of the day. And this is something we are all in need in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in another surah, He says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَى. That is, and the night, when it comes over. And this is yaghsha, he says avlam, and this is darkness. The night when it overtakes the day with darkness, or fills the world with darkness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. And by daylight, when it becomes, تَجَلَّى means it became clear and overwhelming. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to these times and the greatness of them, He swears by them. Wallayl, by the night time, if it overwhelms you and becomes dark over you and you can't see. And by the daytime, if it becomes clear for you and your eyes are opened and everything is clear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by this, and then He says further on, and by the one that has created the male and the female. And this is your mu'awwid, this is your ta'awwud in the daytime, or when you wake up. You are seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the falaq, the distinguishing of the day and the night. And then the other surah, Surah An-Nas, you're seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of the people in that time, or the evil that might come from the people and the jinn. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that created the falaq itself. So you're seeking refuge in Allah from that. And you're seeking refuge in the creator of the people from their evil. And this is the first thing you say when you get up from sleep. And this is putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His protection. So you are seeking the protection of the one that created the day and the night. You are seeking the protection, the one that created the falaq. You are seeking the protection of the one that controls your affair, that has created you to begin with, the one that gives you sustenance, and He is the one that continues to cherish you. And likewise, you are seeking refuge in Allah, the creator of the people, the one that created this earth and the heavens. And He is the one that created the male and the female. And you are seeking protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of all of that, from the evil of all of that.
نحن في مثل هذه الأيام أيام الفتن وانتشار الشرور بحاجة الإنسان دائما أن يعتصم ويلجأ إلى الله عز وجل بأن يذكره دائما ويتعوذ به من شرور الخلق من الإنس والجن. والله عز وجل ابتدأ في الآية قل أعوذ برب الناس، هذا إشارة إلى توحيد الربوبية فالله عز وجل هو المتصرف في هذا الكون، هو الذي يحيي ويميت، وهو الخالق كما ذكرنا لهذا الكون وما فيه من ليل ونهار، والخالق الفجر، والخالق الناس، وخالق الضحى، وخالق الشمس، وخالق القمر، وهكذا. فنحن نلجأ إلى هذا الخالق سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا الخالق الرب عز وجل هو الذي يملك الناس، هو الذي خلقهم وخلق أفعالهم وجعل في خلقهم مقادير. فنحن كما نوحد الله توحيد الربوبية، أي أننا نعلم أنه الخالق سبحانه، أيضا يجب أن نعلم أنه هو المتصرف وهو المالك، وهذه صفة من صفاته عز وجل، فهو المهيمن، وهو سبحانه وتعالى قادر على كل شيء. فنقول قل أعوذ برب الفلق، قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس. وهذا الملك المتصرف نحن نعبده، لا نعبد غيره. لذلك في هذه الآيات الثلاث فيها توحيد ربوبية وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات وتوحيد الألوهية، فأنت تعتصم بالرب الذي تعلم أنه هو الإله الخالق الذي تصرف العبادة له ولا تصرفها لغيره، لأنه هو المالك للناس.
Shaykh Hafidhullah wa baraka fih. He continued on to say, so in the times like our times that we live in now, the times of fitan, turmoils and problems, it is necessary and binding upon the person that he continually seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He continues to run toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He seeks his protection always and forever. So the person, he says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of people, or mankind. In this ayah right there, that verse, is a tawheed, a category of secluding Allah and making Him one alone and unique in that He is the Lord. It's called Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the Tawheed of Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are acknowledging that Allah is the one that controls everything and the one that has created everyone and everything around them. He is the one that created the night and the day, the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon, the male and the female. So you are acknowledging, say, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind. You are acknowledging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Lord alone, the creator that created you, the one that has all power over you and all that is around you. And this Lord, He is the Malik, the owner, the one that has reign, under which everybody is under His domain. This Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Malik of the people, of mankind. That is, He created them. He created their actions, and He created that which comes from them. And He decreed all that will happen. So in the ayah is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship, you making Allah one and unique and alone in that He is the Lord, the Creator, the one that created everything. And we also acknowledge after that, that He is the one that is able. He is the one that is irresistible over His slave. He is the one that controls everything. He is the one under which all domain falls under His. And these are from the names and attributes of Allah, from being the King, Al-Malik, Al-Qadir, the one that is completely able, Al-Qahir, the irresistible over His slaves, Al-Muhaymin, the one under which all domain falls under His domain, the one that controls everything. These are all from the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you're saying, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, say, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind, then you are acknowledging that I'm seeking refuge. Rather, I'm worshipping this Lord that created mankind. I'm worshipping the King, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the surah you will find a third type of tawheed as well, and that is the tawheed of al-ibadah. You making Allah one only, unique and secluded in your worship toward Him. Tawheed al-ubudiyyah or al-uluhiyyah. And that is, the three tawheeds are combined in this surah right here. You are calling upon Allah with His lordship, describing Him in His names and attributes. And since you're seeking refuge in Him, you are worshipping Him and making Him one alone. One and alone in that worship. Nah.
فالمعوذات هو أن تلجأ إلى الله عز وجل أن يكفيك الشرور أن يعيذك من الشرور فأنت تلوذ إلى الله تلجأ إليه خشية أن يقع عليك شر. لذلك قال تعالى قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق. والله عز وجل خلق هذا الكون وخلق الخير وخلق الشر. خلق الخير وأحبه، وخلق الشر وكرهه، فأنت تتعوذ به من شر ما خلق. خلق الإنس وفيهم شر، وخلق الجن وفيهم شر، وخلق الحيوانات وفيها شر، وخلق الزواحف وفيها شر، كما ذكرنا هذا العقرب الذي لدغ النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وهذا الشر قد ينال من جسدك أو من مالك أو من ولدك أو من زوجك أو مما تملك من متاع الدنيا. فأنت مع كل فلق تلجأ إلى الله وتقول اللهم اكفني شر ما خلقت، شر ما يقع على جسدي ومالي وولدي وأهلي وما أملك. وقوله ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب، أي تتعوذ أيضا من دخول الليل وما فيه من شرور، لأن كثيرا من الشرور تصنع ليلا لتنفذ نهارا، أو تصنع ليلا وتنفذ ليلا، لأن الليل ظلمة وأصحاب الشر يعملون في الظلام، يجدون الحرية والأمان في الظلام، أهل الحق دائما يعملون في العلانية في الوضوح، لأنهم لا يخشون لومة لائم، بينما الجبناء يصنعون الشر ليلا لأنهم جبناء، إما أنهم ينفذونه في النهار بطريقة سرية، وإما أنهم ينفذونه ليلا لينجح. ولذلك تعوذ من شر غاسق إذا وقب،
شيخ حفظه الله. He went on to say, you're seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of your day is al-iltija, that is running toward Allah, facing in the direction of Allah with your heart, asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's basically seeking protection in Allah from all of the evils that are to come throughout this day, in the fear that it may befall you, the evil may come upon you throughout the day. So at the opening of your day, at the falaq of your day, you're seeking refuge. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you, the Lord of al-falaq. I seek refuge of you of all evil that is to come. I seek refuge in you of the evil befalling me. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything and all things, including the good and the evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that which is good and loved it. And He created that which is evil and hated it, and disliked it, and despised it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created mankind, and in them is evil. And He created the jinn kind, and in them is evil. And He created the animals, and in them is evil. And He created the insects, and in them is evil. And as we saw in the preceding hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the scorpion, said it did not leave its evil from anyone. And it attacked everything. It spread its evil everywhere. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created this evil, and He hated it. And you are waking up at the beginning of your day and seeking refuge in Allah, the creator of that, seeking His protection from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with your acknowledgement of this, He is the one, He is the Malik, the owner, the king over all of this that we have. So you're seeking refuge in Him, and who better to seek refuge in? And in the open day, you might find evil in your wealth. So you're seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from evil that might come to you from your wealth. From it might be from your spouse. From it might be from your children. Evil may come from anywhere, in any of these things. So you're seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that created them and controls them and is the king over them. You're seeking refuge in Him. You're seeking protection with Him from it. And then you proceed on to say, وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ, and from the evil of day of night or darkness when it enters and takes over. The Shaykh Hafidhullah, he says, you're seeking refuge at this time because most evil is done at night. It is done at a time of darkness where people can't see. And the people of evil lurk at these times and plot and plan to spread their evil the next day in secret or during that night. This is their time, darkness, at the time where they can't be seen. They can plot and plan as they wish. And this is why you seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically at this time. This is when the people of evil operate. Now, this is the people of batil, of falsehood. This is how they do. But you'll find the person on the haqq, he operates in the daylight, in clarity. He does not fear anyone except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in his calling to the haqq, he has no fear of anything. So he does his affair clearly, in the open, not secretively, but rather the one that is weak, the one who is scared, the one who's a coward, you'll find him operating in this darkness to cover up his plots and plans, so that he either does his business in the dark, because that's the best time for him, or he tries to wait so he could secretly do it in the daytime. So the Muslim, the person, he seeks the refuge. He seeks the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil that is in this time and what may happen and befall at the entrance of this darkness.
إذن ذكرنا شرور الخلق التي تصيب الإنسان في جسده وماله وولده وما يملك، وأيضا هناك شرور تصيب نفسه، ولذلك من هذه الشرور هو الوسوسة، يأتي الشيطان فيوسوس، لذلك قال تعالى من شر الوسواس الخناس. والوسوسة حديث الشيطان يقع في الصدر، من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس. الوسوسة كلام يكون داخل الأذن يقع في الصدر، هذا نوع من أنواع الفعل في الخفاء، وسمي الشيطان خناسا لأنه يخنس، فإذا الإنسان ذكر الله خنس الشيطان، أي صارت وسوسته لا قيمة لها. وهذا أسلوب من أساليب الشياطين، سواء كانت هذه الشياطين من الإنس أو من الجن، فهي تأمر بخفاء في الشر، توسوس حتى تجعل في الصدر شيئا. ولذلك قال تعالى إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا، التبيين ضد الخفاء، لا بد أن يسعى الإنسان قبل الحكم إلى تجلية الموضوع حتى يكون واضحا ثم يحكم، وإلا دخل في المشاركة مع الوسواس. إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ، لذلك الشياطين تشتغل بالشائعات، وهي القول بدون علم وبدون بينة. وللأسف كلما كان الإنسان جاهلا كلما استحوذ عليه الشيطان بالوسوسة، حتى أن هناك من الناس من يتلاعب بها الشيطان ثم يصير مريضا من أجل ذلك تتوسع الوسوسة فتصير وسوسة قهرية، أي أنه لا يستطيع دفعها. وإذا لم يستطع دفعها فإنه بهذا المرض يصير ألعوبة بيد الشيطان. وهذه الوسوسة إما أحيانا أن تدخل يظن أنه غير ليس على طهارة، أو أن صلاته بطلت لأن الشيطان يأتي فينفخ في دبره وهو ساجد، أو إذا دخل الحمام يبقى فترة طويلة يظن أنه لم يستبرئ من البول. الحمام معروف أنه أماكن الشياطين. وهكذا الوساوس يعمل بها الشيطان باستمرار بين والتحريش بين الناس. وقلما يأتي الشيطان لأهل العلم أو لمن يذكرون الله عز وجل أو لمن يلجأون إلى الله بهذه القراءة، قل أعوذ برب الفلق، قل أعوذ برب الناس. فالوسوسة يجب أن ننتبه لها، سواء كانت هذه الوسوسة يفعلها الشيطان الجني أو والعياذ بالله الشيطان الإنسي، فلا بد أن نكون منتبهين لهذا. لأن الناس حين تركت كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بفهم السلف وسوس لها الشيطان، ثم يستحوذ عليها أي يملكها فتصير تحت أمره، قد يصل الحال إلى أن تعبده لأنها تركت طاعة الله فتصير في طاعة الشيطان. ومن صار الشيطان وليه فقد خسر خسرانا مبينا.
شيخ حفظه الله. He went on to say that we've noted some of the evils of the creation, and that the evils could be in the person's body, from his family, from his wealth, and such things as that. But there's another type of evil that may befall the person, and that is the what's within the person himself, the waswasa. That is the whispers. And that's why we further go on to seek refuge from the evil of al-waswas, the evil of the whisperer or the whispers. And this whispering is basically something that falls in the ear, or that comes through the ear and falls in the heart. He says, pay attention, because this is a type of secretive action. This is a type of secretive way of dealing with things. Another characteristic we had noted before of the people of evil. So it is a whisper that comes to the person and falls into his heart to do something of evil. Or evil falls into his heart. And this is, as it said, we seek refuge in the waswas. And then there's a word, al-khannas, which the Shaykh, hafidhullah, he's going to clarify. The one that whispers into the hearts of men or people. Now, again, this is a secretive operation, action. It's not something that's clear and in front and open. Rather, it is the dealing of the people of evil. And this whispering comes from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as al-khannas. He describes the shaitan as al-khannas, the one that you describe him as, you could say cowardly, fearful. He hides as soon as Allah's remembrance is called, you'll find him quiet, running away, hiding. But as long as the remembrance of Allah is not around, he's up and hollering and doing his thing. So he's al-khannas. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He gets small, cowardly, despicable, and runs away. So this is what happens when the remembrance of Allah is named upon these shayateen. And these shayateen, these devils, might be from the mankind, and they might be from the jinn kind, from the shayateen. Either way, it's binding upon the person that he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeks refuge in him from the evils of these types of people that might whisper things into the person's ear and have it fall into his heart and play around with him with his desires at that point. And again, the Shaykh repeats to us, this is not something that is out in the open and clear like the people of Haqq. Rather, it's something from the people of Batil, of evil. It is something that they do undercover. They whisper quietly, spreading their disease. And then they cause the person to fall into the evil. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a sinful person comes to you, a fasiq, with some news, then clarify it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is guiding us to be clear in our affair. Make sure what you're saying is right. Do not enter into the issue blindly. If a sinful person, a fasiq, comes to you, then clarify. And entering into an issue blindly is entering without knowledge or proof. This is what is sought. Somebody comes to you with news, not trustworthy, fasiq, sinful, then you need to clarify, where is the proof? Where is the knowledge you have to bring to prove your statement? Like that. Or else, you're walking the path of the shayateen that base their operations and actions upon secretive issues, upon things that are not clear, upon he said, she said, upon hearsay, not proof, no knowledge, no fundamental. So therefore, not doing this is walking the path of these people, of the types of shayateen, whether they be from man or jinn. And every time the person walks with this in this path of the shaitan, not seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, letting him do as he wish, the shaitan, he starts to play around with him and his desires. Until the point, as soon as he's let his guard down, it comes to the point that he is overwhelmed by the shaitan and his soldiers and their likes until he can't resist them no more. He is forced to do as they say. He can't resist the power that they have because of his walking this path so far with them. So you might find the man, he can't remember if he has tahara. He made wudu, but he just can't remember. Is he still on wudu? Or he goes into the bathroom for long periods of times, still thinking he's dirty. Or in salah, he can't remember. He thinks that he broke his wudu. The shaitan blows on his backside and makes him think that he broke his wudu. These are all the types of things that the shaitan will do, taking this person into these types of affairs that are not, yani, they're not looked at in the religion. You don't deal with yourself like that. And you won't find the shaitan really coming to the people of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the people of knowledge, because they are continually in the remembrance of Allah. Therefore, the shaitan has no, yani, he has no foothold on these people. He can't operate with them, because when the remembrance of Allah comes, he becomes khanis, despicable, and runs away, and worthless. So you won't find him coming to the people of remembrance of Allah and the people of knowledge. And this happens That these doors are open as soon as the people left the understanding of the predecessors, the understanding of the Salaf. They started opening up doors of evil to themselves, walking the paths of shayateen. So the shaitan was able to overwhelm them. And this is how this came about, by leaving the understanding of your predecessors, your Salaf, of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
في المعوذتين أشار الله عز وجل إلى شرور عظيمة، شر الوسوسة وشر النفاثات في العقد وشر حاسد إذا حسد. شر الوسوسة وشر السحر وشر العين، وهذه الشرور لا يلتفت إليها كثير من الناس. على سبيل المثال، الإنسان دائما بطبعه يختلط بالآخرين، يدخل في المجتمعات، يدخل في الأسواق، يدخل في العمل، وهذا الاختلاط يحيطه هذه الشرور. فعلى سبيل المثال، هو ينظر إلى ما يفعل الناس، الذي يذكر الله لا ينظر إلى ما يفعل الناس، إنما ينظر إلى أوامر الله عز وجل. فإذا تقيد بأوامره وانتهى عن نواهيه ولجأ إليه وتعوذ به نجا من هذه الشرور، إلا إذا أراد الله لحكمة أن يصيبه شيء منها، فإن أصابه أراد أن يكفر ذنبه أو يرفع درجته. أو أنه إذا ترك ذكر الله وأوامره لعل الله عز وجل يسلط عليه هذه الشرور، يسلط عليه من يوسوس له بالباطل، أو يصيبه بالسحر، أو يصيبه بالعين. ولذلك المسلم إذا حصن نفسه بهذه المعوذات ولجأ إلى الله عز وجل كفاه الله شر هذه المسائل. أما إذا كان منصرفا عن دين الله ومتبعا لهواه وشهواته، فإن الشياطين تستحوذ عليه وتأمره أن يقول شيئا أو يفعل شيئا، وهذا واضح في أهل البدع والضلال، واضح في أهل الشهوات. والإنسان يحذر الإنصات لأهل البدع، لأنهم يوسوسون بالباطل، وأيضا يحذر أهل الشهوات لأنهم يوسوسون بالشهوات المحرمة. فعلى سبيل المثال، أنت تسمع قول النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: اعفوا اللحى وحفوا الشوارب، فيأتي الشيطان فيقول، يوسوس: ليس مهم اللحية، ولعل الحلق أولى لأنه نظافة أو لأنه جميل، أو لأنك باللحية تخالف الآخرين. انظر، يسبقك هو إلى المرآة، انظر إلى نفسك الآن كيف صار بك، كنت في الماضي جميلا، لكن الآن بعد هذه اللحية أصبحت بشعا. أو يقول لك اليهود يعفون لحاهم وأنت خالفهم، وهكذا مما يزينه الشيطان. وهذا المسكين وقع فريسة لزينة الشيطان، لأنه رأى بعينه ولم يرى بقلبه. والإنسان المؤمن بصير القلب، والضال أعمى القلب. فالأعمى القلب يرى بعينه مما يزينه الشيطان، فينصاع لهذه الوسوسة ويبدأ يستحسنها ويدافع عنها. كل ذلك أصله من وسوسة الشيطان. وقد يتطور هذا الحال حتى يرى هو بنفسه أن اللحية جميلة، ولكنه لا يأتيها من باب قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمره، فيلجأ إلى الحسد، يحسد من عنده لحية، لا يتمنى له هذه النعمة، بل يتمنى أن تزول عنه اللحية. وقد يتطور الأمر إلى أن يصير عدوا لمن عنده لحية، مستنا بسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم إذا هو حسد قد ينتقل إلى البغي، الاعتداء على من أعفى لحيته واستنى بهدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فالشيطان ينقله من موقع إلى موقع وهكذا يتلاعب به. فإذا ظهرت عداوته للسنة انقلب عدوا لأهل الحق والعياذ بالله. فالوسوسة خطيرة، فعلى الإنسان أن ينتبه من شرها. فإذا وسوس لك الشيطان بالباطل فلا تأتمر له، ذلك الله عز وجل قال: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان. طاعة الشيطان عبادة، ومن عبد الشيطان ترك الرحمن. من وقع في عبادة الشيطان ترك عبادة الرحمن. ولذلك لا بد أن ننتبه إلى الوساوس، إلى من يأتي إلينا فيهمس موسوسا: سمعت، فهمت كذا، هذا لا، هذا صحيح، هذا فعل كذا، وهو ينساق معه لجهله بشرع الله عز وجل. فكلما كان الإنسان جاهلا بدين الله وجاهلا بسنن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان انصياعه للشيطان أكثر، وكلما كان الإنسان فقيها بدينه عالما بأمر ربه فإنه يكون حذرا من الشيطان. وذلك الله عز وجل سمى الشيطان عدو، وعداوته من هذا الباب، من باب أنه يسيطر على الجهلة والمبتدعة ويسوقهم إلى ما يريد. ونعوذ بالله من شره.
شيخنا، أول ثلاث أمور: الوسواس، الحسد،
والعين.
والعين
السحر،
العين،
العين.
بارك الله فيكم الشيخ، جزاه الله خيرا. He said that in these two صور المعوذتين، قل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس، Allah سبحانه وتعالى He points out some great evils that the people don't pay attention to much anymore. And the first one is the waswas, the whispering. And the second one is the hasad, the envy, and the evil eye. And the third one is the magic or the sorcery. And this is things that the people, they kind of overlook today. They don't pay attention too much. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of them here. The person, you know, by nature, he is someone, the human by nature, he is someone that is social and enters into social affairs. So he goes to work, he goes to the marketplace, he's with his family, his friends. And in all these places, it's possible that evil surrounds him. And he is not seeking refuge from it, nor is he trying to stay away from it. And the person that is heedless in this manner, he's looking at the people, what are they doing? How are they acting? What is it that they like? But the person that has taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he looks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what he likes and orders and commands. So he looks at the commands of Allah and does not fear to implement them. And he looks at the likes of Allah and does not fear to do them. And he has no attention to what anyone else likes or wants. Rather, his direction is in Allah's direction, and his way or his actions are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person that is heedless and he is not paying attention, then all types of evil are going to befall this person, whether he knows it or not. But the one that is in the remembrance of Allah, that does have the knowledge and tries to attain it and implement, he is someone that if for some wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed an evil may befall him, then it is of two affairs. It is that his sins are being nullified for him through this, or that his level is being raised with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's one of two affairs. Now if the person was one of remembrance and has left it, then this is an opening for the people of evil. And maybe Allah has allowed, because and due to his being heedless of Allah, that the people may attack him and then evil may overcome him. Now, the person who wakes up, or the person that reads these ayat and these surah, then he is leaving the affair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has done his part of seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from such evils. This is what is upon you, to read these surah and ayat and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, so that you may not be inflicted by this evil. So, when this door is open, the shaitan may enter and continue to whisper to the person until he becomes from the people of batil, of falsehood himself. And this is something you find clear with the people of innovation and desires. The people of innovations, even though the haq may come to them, the truth may come, the sunnah may come, they've still decided they would like to stick to their batil, to their falsehood. Likewise, the people of desires, when the sinfulness is made clear to them that they're sinful, they still decide to stick to their sins, unwavering. Where did this come from? From the opening the door to the shaitan. Let me give you an example. A person that does not leave his beard to grow, according to the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, leave the beard or honor the beard and trim the mustache. Or another narration, humiliate the mustache. The shaitan comes to the man. He said, there's no need for you to have a beard. Maybe it's even better you don't have a beard. Because having a beard is dirty, not having one is clean. Because the people don't do it and you don't want to be not like the people. You want to be somebody that's able to mix with the people naturally, social. In fact, you know what? The Jews have beards. And we're ordered to not have beards. Or we're ordered to be opposite to the Jews. They have it, so you shouldn't have it. All of this in response to the command of the Prophet ﷺ, leave the beard, honor your beard. All of the commands of the Prophet ﷺ But these shubuhat that the shaitan has brought to this person, the waswas, the door is opened up and he listens. The beard's dirty, it's unclean, you're ugly with the beard. And then he runs and beats him to the mirror and says to him, look in the mirror, look how beautiful you are with no beard. And when he starts to grow it, he says to him, look how ugly you've become. So the shaitan, he tries to fool the people with this. He throws, this is the waswas. This is the whispering that the person needs to fight and close that door. It'll come to everyone, but the person needs to fight it with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as these mu'awwidhat. This is the first thing, al-waswas, the whispering. If he continues in this manner, it'll take him to the second one, and that is al-hasad, and the evil eye, the ayn. Or it might come to him that he actually comes to the point that he realizes, or before that, the Shaykh says, now this person looking in the mirror, he's looking not with the insight or the sight of the heart. If he is submitting to the commands and the whisperings of shaitan, it is due to him not looking with the basira, or the basar of the heart, the seeing of the heart. Rather, he is just looking upon a false statement and not upon the reality of the affair. That is, his insight has become blinded. And blindness is not the blindness of the eyes, rather it's the blindness of the heart. So it comes to him and the person continues in this manner until he becomes from those that have envy for the people of beards. Because it might come to the point that that waswas doesn't affect him, or he understands it's false and he acknowledges the beard is correct. In fact, he acknowledges it's beautiful, because that's natural, the beard on a man's face. But he's looking at it not from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leave the beard. He's looking at it from a superficial standpoint. So he starts to have envy for the people that have the beard. He's not strong enough, and he has envy for them. And he wishes that their beards be gone, and they shave them off. And then it reaches to the point that he has hatred for them. And when you have hatred for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have entered into the realm of falsehood and fighting the people of goodness. You've entered into the realm of following the shaitan so far that he is now able to play with you as he wishes and do with you as he wishes. This is a small example in people's lives that the Shaykh is giving us of how the shaitan will begin with you with the waswas, with the whispering, and take you into the realm of envy and jealousy until the point you become an enemy of the sunnah, all due to opening the door of the shaitan to whisper to you. And again, this is simply closed by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, did I not take an oath from you, O son of Adam, that you do not take the shaitan as your leader? Or take your the shaitan as your wali, your friend? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, did I not take an oath from you, O Bani Adam, that you do not take the shaitan as your friend beside Allah? Because when you have reached the point of having hatred for the sunnah, then you have allied yourself with those who have hatred for the sunnah, and they are the shayateen. It might reach the point in other situations that the person enters into the worship of shaitan himself. And the one who enters into worship of shaitan is leaving the worship of Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. So be aware, my brothers. Be aware of the whispering of the shaitan telling you, look to so-and-so, look at such-and-such, listen to this and that, and you know what's wrong. Be aware of doing it. Don't look. Don't listen. Be firm. Remember your Lord. And this is done. This strength is brought forth by knowledge, fiqh. The person of ignorance is easily swayed by the shaitan. These whispers, he cannot refute them. He's unable, he has no knowledge. He's unable to refute them and he becomes weak. And this is why the shaitan he is able to play with the people of ignorance. This is his playground. He plays on the people's ignorance. The person with fiqh, with knowledge, the shaitan cannot approach him. He's unable. All doors are closed and the fences are up. So the person, every time he increases in knowledge, every time he puts up a defense for himself, between him and the shaitan. So, staying upon ignorance, in other words, is not something you want to do, because it might take you out of the alliance of the people that are with Allah into allying with the shaitan and his friends ignorantly. No.
الشيطان لا يكل ولا يمل هو دائما يسعى في إحداث الشرور ولذلك يأتي أهل الدين من باب البدع ويأتي أهل الدنيا من باب الشهوة يأتي من أهل الدين فيأمرهم بالزيادة على العبادة يقول يوسوس لهم افعل كذا زد كذا فهو يزيد في العبادة حتى يصير ضالا وكذلك يأتي أهل الدنيا فيأمرهم بالشهوات ولعل بعض الطلبة الذين يبتدئون بالعلم ما إن يقرأوا كتابا حتى يدخل عليهم الشيطان فيقول أنت الآن عالم كبير تفتي الناس وهكذا يتلاعب بمن اغتر بعلمه مع أن الله عز وجل قال لنبيه هو أكثر الناس علما وفضلا وقل رب زدني علما الإنسان مهما زاد علمه فإنه يبقى متواضعا ويعلم أنه ما جاء من عند نفسه إلا ما من فضل الله عز وجل ذلك فضل الله علينا وعلى الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون فكلما ازداد الإنسان علما كلما ازداد تواضعا وخشية لذلك قال تعالى إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء بينما الطالب المبتدئ الذي يريد أن يتصدر الناس قبل أوانه فإنه هذا مغرور يأتيه الشيطان فيتلاعب به والشيطان يدخل على كل من هو اعتقاده ضعيف بالله عز وجل وتوكله ضعيف وصبره قليل هناك حديث صحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أن الله عز وجل لما خلق آدم وهو في بدء خلقه من طين وقبل أن ينفخ فيه الروح دخل الشيطان فطاف حوله أي طاف بآدم قبل أن ينفخ فيه الروح فلما وجده أجوف لا يتمالك يعني فرح لأنه علم أنه يستطيع أن يوسوس له ويستحوذ عليه وهذه طبيعة البشر أنها ضعيفة لكنها تكون قوية بذكر الله عز وجل، قوية حين تكون على سنة المصطفى صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فإن الشيطان ليس على عباد الله المخلصين أي شيء ولا أي طريق. ولذلك تجد في كل نواحي الحياة وسوسة، في كل لحظة وسوسة وأمر بالشر. ولذلك أمر الله عز وجل أن ندعوه دائما اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، وأن نتبعه على هذا الهدى، وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. فهذا الطريق المستقيم محفوف بالشياطين، ولا بد أن نحذر هذه الوساوس. أيضا قد يدخل الإنسان في مشروعات، وهذا إذا جعل الشيطان الإنسان يحتال على شرع الله فإنه يأمره كيف يحتال، حتى يصير هذا الإنسان شيطانا أكبر ممن يوسوس له. هذا الذي جاءه في الأول يوسوس يرى نتيجة وسوسه أن هذا الإنسان الذي وسوس له هو أكبر منه شيطانا. حتى يصير بعض الناس والعياذ بالله إلى السحر، وكثير من السحرة يبدو في مظهرهم أنهم من أهل الدين، ولكنهم في الحقيقة رؤوس شياطين. فالساحر والمشعوذ يظهر أنه يقرأ القرآن ويتمتم بما في كتاب الله، ولكنه في الحقيقة يأتي بتمائم وتعاويذ شركية يخفيها عنك، وهذا يعني أنه استعان بالجن من أجل تنفيذ شره. كثير من الناس الجهلة يأتون هؤلاء المشعوذين يطلبون منهم قضاء حاجات، هذا يعني أنهم أتوا إلى الشيطان وسلموا أنفسهم له. وهكذا فالسحر باب واسع، نسأل الله أن يكفينا شر السحرة الذين انتشروا كثيرا في هذه الأزمان لجهل الناس وضعفهم بدين الله. وأيضا الحاسد هو الذي ينظر بعينه، والنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إن العين حق، وفي رواية صحيحة إن العين لتدخل الرجل القبر والجمل القدر. وكثير من الناس مرسوا أنفسهم ومرنوا عيونهم على الحسد، يدخل على سبيل المثال في احتفال عرس مثلا فينظر إلى شيء بعينه فيعمل فيه شرا. أو منهم يقول اذهب وراء هذا الجمل فأتنا بلحمه، فإذا نظر به تمارض الجمل فيأتي صاحبه فيذبحه، فيكون من أرسله جاهز لأخذ اللحم منه. وهذا يدل على أن العين حق، لأن العين يصدر منها من خباثة هذا الإنسان. لذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتعوذ من شر نفسه، لأن النفس إذا صارت خبيثة عملت الوسوسة، أصابت بالعين عملت العين، حسدت بالعين، أو فعل صاحبها السحر. ولا شك أن هذه الشرور لا تصير إلا بإذن الله عز وجل، فعلى الإنسان أن يحذر هذه الشرور المنتشرة في هذا الزمان أيضا بكثرة، وإن كانت هي منتشرة أيضا في الأزمان الماضية، لكن كلما ازداد الناس جهلا وبعدا عن كتاب الله كلما انتشرت الشياطين واستعملت هذه الأساليب أكثر. نسأل الله السلام.
الشيخ حفظه الله goes on to say the shaitan, the devil, he doesn't get tired. He continues. He's persistent. He doesn't stop. He wants evil at all costs, and he'll waste his time and energy in attaining evil. He will come to the people of two sorts, the people of worship and deen. He will come to them from a door of innovation. And the people of desires, he'll enter to them in the door of their desires. He'll say to the person that loves Allah or wants to worship, he'll say to him, add this, subtract that, do this, until he has come out with a whole new religion. Add this to your salah. Add this to your dhikr. He's just putting additions, thinking he's doing something extra and beneficial, but in reality it is not from the deen of Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come with that. But the shaitan entered upon this person from that door. You're doing something good, increase some more in this. Or subtract from it, until it is not the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's something of the innovations that have entered into the deen. And the shaitan is able to enter to these people from that door. And he comes to the people of desires, the ones that are weak inside. And he says, go over there and you can get what you want there. Putting him in situations where it's easy for him to attain that desire which he wishes. Showing him the secrets and the ways of getting the evil that he's looking for. And he might come to the student of knowledge and tell him, you have now become a scholar. You may now stand up in front of the people and teach them. So he fools the student of knowledge into thinking he's something tremendous, something special. All the while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His Messenger, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. This is the Messenger of Allah. You're not going to get more knowledge than him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still commands him, say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So this person that he has stood up to teach the people before his time, before he's ready, then he is fooled by himself. Maghroor. And this is how the shaitan enters into these people. So the person, really, it is for him to stay humble. He's not going to increase past the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ. And the man, the more he increases in knowledge, the more he knows how ignorant he really is. And the more humble it makes him with the increasing of knowledge. So that's why there is a dangerous point there for the seeker of knowledge, that he might get to the point where he has some knowledge, believing he has all knowledge. But rather the one continues to seek knowledge so that he will stay humble and know his reality is that he doesn't have a lot of knowledge. Now, this is where the shaitan enters upon all of these people from this area. The one that has lack of knowledge and the one who has lack of patience. He wants to do more. It's not enough. I need to teach now. I need to attain this desire this minute. So, he is able to enter upon us from these two doors. Lack of knowledge and lack of patience. Now there is a hadith at the creation of Adam alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, he was laying there without a soul yet. The shaitan walked around him and started kicking around and investigating. And he found that Adam is hollow. There's nothing inside. And he became very happy. He was overwhelmed with joy because he understood this creature is weak. And that's the reality of mankind. You're weak. Anything can destroy you. But the one is strengthened by the remembrance of Allah alone. The shaitan understood that. He understood, I could play with these creatures because there's nothing inside. There's no strength for them against me. I can enter inside. But the only strength you do have is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he attacks the weak and the strong. He cannot enter into. That's why the shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as the plots and planning of the shaitan are weak. Against who? The one has attained knowledge and remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look, all of the parts of this world, all areas of your life, you're going to face the whisperings of shaitan. You're going to face the whisperings of the evil people, the shayateen of man and jinn. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is my straight path, so follow it. This is my straight path, so become upright upon it. And know that this straight path, when you're walking it, onto the sides of all of it, while you're walking, the shayateen are all around you, calling you to their way. Shaitan of bid'ah, of innovation, shaitan of desires. Doesn't matter, you're walking a straight path, and therefore you need to know that everything around you is from the shayateen, whether from desires or innovations or whatever they may be. And there is another area that the people enter into. And that is sorcery and magic. And this is something that is widespread between the people today. You might find the person, he claims that he's reading the Qur'an and making dhikr of Allah when you go to him, but he is throwing in there false remembrances of other than Allah. He is throwing in there terms not used by the Muslims. In his seeking help and refuge in the shayateen, in the jinn, and this is shirk. He is seeking help in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people ignorantly go to them. The musha'widheen, those who come up with falsehood. Musha'widheen, the superstitious type people really, that make up false claims, relying upon other than Allah, calling upon other than Him for help. And the people go to these musha'widheen, knowing they're musha'widheen, putting their hands in there, putting their affair in these people's hands. And we ask Allah refuge from this. For they have entered into the same footsteps as that person, the musha'widh. And we ask Allah to keep us safe from these types of things. And there is another one. And that is al-hasad, the envy. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of envy. There are people that have trained themselves. And from the worst of envy, or the biggest of it, and the major of it, is the evil eye. And we ask Allah to save us from this. And know that there are people out there that have trained themselves to catch you with the evil eye. They may come to a sitting, they may go to a party, they may see something they like, and they have trained themselves to look at it, spreading their evil, expelling it from their eyes onto that thing, in an effort to destroy it. That's their envy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hasad, envy, has entered men's graves and camels into the pots." That is, it has killed men. A person might have envy for a man or another person, and with the evil eye kill him. And he might, as been narrated in other situations, where this type of person, he'll look at the camel and say to his partner, "Bring me that meat." And by the time he leaves him and goes to that camel, the camel's fallen. He inflicted it with his evil eye. And the evil eye is because of the khubth, the despicableness of that person, the evil that is in him. And that's where it comes from. The evil within the person, spreading it to others. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge from the evil of his own self, so that he has no evil. Seek refuge in the evil of your own self, that you may not catch your own self with the evil eye or others around you. And again, this is from the khubth of that person, that his evil is so widespread, he catches people with the evil eye. And the Shaykh notes here that nothing will befall a person except by the will of Allah. Regardless of what the people try, nothing will befall the person except by the will of Allah. If Allah does not let it happen, it won't happen. But if He does, it will. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from these types of things, because they are ever increasing in this time that we live in. And we seek the refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His protection.
هذه الآن الفقرة الأخيرة لكنها مهمة. هو أن من عمل في الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل على منهج النبوة، على منهج السلف، قال في الحق ومضى على ذلك، فإنه يغلب بإذن الله الشياطين. ولذلك لما بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان الجن يستمعون إلى خبر السماء، فببعثته منعوا عن الاستماع إلى خبر السماء، ألقي عليهم الشهب، فجاءوا إلى إبليس قالوا منعنا خبر السماء، فقال هذا لحدث في الأرض، أي هناك حدث كبير مهم حصل في الأرض. فلما أرسلهم لم يأتوا بشيء، فأخذ شيئا من التربة ونظر فيها وقال هذا الحدث في الحرة، فأتوا إلى الحرة فوجدوا النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يصلي بأصحابه الصبح. وقد أخبر الله عز وجل النبي بعد ذلك قال وإذا صرفنا إليك نفرا من الجن يستمعون القرآن فلما حضروه قالوا أنصتوا فلما قضي ولوا إلى قومهم منذرين قالوا يا قومنا إنا سمعنا كتابا أنزل من بعد موسى مصدقا لما بين يديه يهدي إلى الحق وإلى طريق مستقيم يا قومنا أجيبوا داعي الله. إذن هذا الحدث لما رجعوا به إلى إبليس قال هذا هو الحدث، أي سبب امتناعهم عن سماع خبر السماء هو هذا الحدث، هو بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ونشأت العداوة لهذه الدعوة، ففي أول سورة نزلت اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق، بيّن الله عز وجل أن أبا جهل عاد هذه الدعوة، فقال تعالى أرأيت الذي ينهى عبدا إذا صلى. ثم أن الكفار لما سمعوا الذكر، يعني سمعوا القرآن، علموا أن هذا القرآن نعمة كبيرة، فوصفوا النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بالجنون لأنه دعاهم إلى التوحيد. أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدا إن هذا لشيء عجاب، فقالوا عنه مجنون وحسدوه بأعينهم. قال تعالى في آخر سورة القلم وإن يكاد الذين كفروا ليزلقونك بأبصارهم لما سمعوا الذكر ويقولون إنه لمجنون. فقال الله عز وجل في أول السورة ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون، أي لست بهذا الذكر وبهذا القرآن أنت مجنون. قال فستبصر ويبصرون، انتظر فسترى من هو المجنون. ثم في نفس السورة حذر الله عز وجل من النميمة، لأن الدعاء إلى الباطل وأهل البدع لا يرضون لهذه الدعوة أن تنتصر وأن تغلب وأن تنتشر، فهم ينمون يفعلون خلق النميمة. فقال في السورة يحذر من هذه الأخلاق، فقال هماز مشاء بنميم، يعني يصبرون على أذى الآخرين بالنميمة. ثم الله عز وجل أنزل سورة تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب، حين صد أبو لهب عن دعوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال للنبي تبا لك ألهذا جمعتنا، فأنزل الله عز وجل تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب. ثم كشف عما في زوجته أم جميل من عداوة للدعوة والصد عنها، فقال وامرأته حمالة الحطب، يعني أنها تنم بين الصحابة والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، تفعل العداوة، تتكلم بالوسواس، تقول لهذا ثم تنتقل إلى الآخر فتوسوس له حتى يقع الخلاف والشقاق والنزاع والفرقة. وسماها حمالة الحطب كناية أنها كأنها تأتي بالحطب فتجعل فيه النار. ولذلك هذه الدعوة، دعوة الأنبياء، تلقى عداوة من هؤلاء الناس، خاصة أهل البدع والنفاق، فهم ينمون ويحسدون ويصدون. فعلينا أن نحذر كما حذر الله عز وجل نبيه في ابتداء الدعوة. وأنا أنصحكم بارك الله فيكم التزام بالكتاب والسنة بفهم السلف، وقبل أن يتخذ الإنسان قولا أو فعلا عليه أن يكون على علم. فالإمام البخاري سمى بابا في صحيحه باب العلم قبل القول والعمل. جزاكم الله خير. سبحانك اللهم
وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت. شيخنا الآية في أبو جهل الأولى،
فإياك يا الذين كفروا رأيت الذي ينهى عبدا
ما شاء الله. شيخ حفظه الله وبارك فيه ورعاه، said, now this is the last paragraph, and it's very important. Whoever he takes the path of da'wah, of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the methodology of the prophets, and upon the way of the salaf as-salih, and he continues upon that haq, by the will of Allah, he will overcome all of the shayateen. He will be able to destroy them. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was sent, the shayateen, before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, go to the sky, into the lowest of heavens or whatever, but they would enter the heavens and listen to the news that would come from the sky. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, the skies were closed on them. They returned back to their head, Iblis, and they said to him, we can't listen anymore. He said, therefore something has fallen and something has come about. He said, look upon the earth. And they looked and couldn't find anything. He said, he started to test the dirt of the earth. And he said, whatever has happened, it's in this place, this harra, this area. So the shayateen went. And what they found was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba praying Salatul Fajr. And here there was an ayah revealed. And we have brought forth to you a group from the shayateen listening to the dhikr. And when they heard it, they were guided and returned back to their people and said, "O our people, we have heard a book revealed after Musa. In it is guidance and truth. O our people, hold fast to this way. It is the straight path. And come to the calling of Allah when you are called." These are the same shayateen when they returned back to shaitan, the beast, they came calling their people. They heard the remembrance of the Prophet ﷺ. So the shaitan, Iblis, he said, that's what happened. That's the hadith that came about. And this is the way of the prophets. They come with their da'wah and the shayateen are stopped. They can't move. And now, this da'wah, you need to know this calling of the prophets of Tawheed. The enmity to it was very clear from the first day. Abu Jahl. The first day Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came about with his calling, he was the first one to keep him from doing any type of worship or calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Do you not see the one that prohibits the slave of Allah to pray?" He's talking about Abu Jahl here. He tried to prohibit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from praying at the Kaaba. And when he came to them with Tawheed, they called him Majnoon. They said, "You're crazy. Have you made the Lord's one Lord? Has he made the Lord's one? He must be crazy." And then they had hasad for him. And it said at the last of Surah Al-Qalam, "And if the people of kufr, disbelief, seek to make you slip and become hurt, harmed with their eyesights, when they heard the remembrance," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they came and heard the remembrance, they sought to have you fall off of this path and leave it. So they had envy for you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the start of Surah Al-Qalam, He says, "وَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ." He says, you are not in the blessing of your Lord crazy. This is the blessing of your Lord that you are a messenger and prophet. So you will see and they will see. The time will come where the realities will become clear. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further described these people as people that spread namima, hearsay between the others. He said, Hamaz, kind of seeking problems, one that enters and seeks problems. Masha'im bin Amim, consistent, having patience upon spreading namima. These people are amazing. They spread namima wherever they go and they are patient. They take the burden of spreading this evil. And namima is the person going from one, giving a partial statement from this man, and telling it to that one, seeking the spreading of evil between them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes Abu Jahl when he came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the people together and said, "I am calling you to the Lord alone." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, "Tabban laka, woe to you, you called us for this." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab." Verily, woe to the hand of Abu Lahab. Woe to him. And then he just doesn't stop there. He exposes the situation of his wife, Jamila. And he describes her as the one that carries the hatab, the wood, for burning. This is that she used to spread between the people evil, between the sahabiyat and the sahaba. She would go and spread evil words about them, causing them to fight between each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her the example of the one that feeds the fire. Now, this is how namima is spread. And it is spread to cause niza' between the people and cause problems between them. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it as wood for the fire. And this is something you will find prevalent with the people of innovations, with the people of desires. Whatever it is that they can put their innovation out with, and cause problems between the people of the Sunnah, they will. Whatever the people of desires want, they will spread this type of namima and harm between the people, because this is what they love. So, my brothers, I advise you, stay away from the khilaf, the disputes, and stick to the book and the sunnah, and stick to the way of the predecessors that came before you from your salaf, and hold fast to that. And we ask Allah safety for us and you, and success in this dunya and the akhirah. Wa subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.